right of feeling like a tiny seed in a vast garden? Well, get ready to bloom and thrive as we discover the growth coaching model and how it can help you expand your potential, whether you be an individual or a team. I'm Karen.
And I am Nuala. And we are the Safety Collaborators.
And our mission is to help people have better conversations and change the way they think about safety. Nils, let's dive into today's conversation.
Today we thought we would have a look at some of the tools in our toolbox that we use as coaches. And a lot of these tools are very helpful for individuals, for teams, and just ways of having better conversations. And a lot of the tools that we use are models. So we have different types of coaching models. And there's one that we thought could be quite helpful. But before we even look at that, I think let's look a bit at why do we even use models in the work that we do? And why do we use models as coaches? So before I dive into that, what are your thoughts?
As you know, I'm quite a fan of using tools like this, primarily because I think it helps to help conversations to stay on track to some degree. And also, I think they help us to, fast track's not the right word, but it can speed up the process of getting to a point. So whether it's a coaching framework or whether it's a psychometric tool like eColors that we use. So it's about how can we have conversations that make sense to people. And I think they give people a sense of safety as well, or security in that, okay, they must have a bit of an idea because there's a bit of a framework. Because I think humans tend to like to know that there's a structure to what we're doing there. And we have enough challenges with people thinking, I know you do good stuff out here, but I can't quite put my finger on it. So sometimes it helps us also to promote this is well tried and tested frameworks and methodologies to help us, or you, the individuals or teams, to grow and develop. So I think there's a lot of power in having a lot of these tools, whether it's a leadership tool, a coaching tool, or a psychometric tool. I'm a great fan.
And to add on to that, part of our greatest skill as a coach is to listen. And it's to be mindful and in the moment and to completely focus on what the person is saying without thinking about what am I going to respond or what is a good question to come up with next.
Great point.
So when we use a framework or we use a model, the background behind that has already given us some amazing questions or things to think about or ask that we know work well and can be very easily adapted to the conversation at hand. So it's not a case of, okay, I'm trying to listen to what this person is saying, but at the same time, I know that they've got this goal they want to achieve. And what do I ask next to get there?
Yeah.
And that for me is one of the great strengths and power behind using a framework or a model is that it really gives you that, okay, we're on a path and we're taking the next step.
Which I think also helps the individual that we're speaking with, because it's not about using the model to say, okay, this is the framework and we're going to follow this step by step and this is going to solve all of your problems. It's not that at all. It really is, okay, here's something that we're going to use and it will trigger conversations for both of us.
And it does. It triggers conversation and it allows space for both the coach and the person who is being coached to be able to just be in the moment.
Yeah.
So we often hear about the GROW model, which is a coaching kind of fundamental and foundation.
It's been around for a very long time and it really helped put coaching as we know it today on the map, in fact. It's been around that long. So the GROW model, which stands for goal, reality, options, will, or way forward. You sometimes see both. So really it's goal. So what is it that you want to achieve today? And this doesn't have to be a life-changing goal. It could be just something that's bothering you or something that the team wants to get connection on if we go into team coaching and use it. So what do we want to achieve, whether it's small or large? Then we go into reality. So before we can actually move forward, we really need to have a look at what's happening right now. What questions do we need to ask? What are the questions we haven't asked? I don't mean us, but maybe you, the individual or the team. So what are the questions out there for which we don't have answers right now? And then really dive a little bit deeper into really thinking about where we're at, and then maybe even discovering where there's a bit of stuckness, if that's part of the problem. And from there, we can move into options. And the options really starts to look at, well, what's possible? Sometimes I do a little activity where I ask people to say, think outrageous questions. What's the most outrageous idea that you could come up with? And see if that's even a possibility. Or another very, I heard you use it the other day, the magic. If you had a magic wand and you wanted to see something like that, we start to talk about that and then lead into, well, what comes out of that? Nuala, what do you think? I know this is an area you love to help people grow into. Aha, see what I did there? Yeah,
I did. Yeah, in the options one, another one of my favorite questions is, tell me five different scenarios, five different options. And it's usually because the first three are really easy. They're the kind of stuff that anybody could think of.
Agree.
And I will sit and hold the space until they have thought of two other options that maybe have not even been on their radar or in their, like, not even a seed has been planted about that yet. Because it's usually pushing through what is easy and pushing out of your comfort zone where you have that aha light bulb moment of, oh my word, I can't believe I haven't thought of this before. And that for me is one of the key values of coaching, is that safe space for people to think of what they haven't been able to think of before.
And even inside that space, in that area where we're starting to be creative now, we can use metaphor, we can use all sorts of ways to try and draw that out. And, you know, the simple question, and if you're a leader, you can use this model. It's really helpful for leaders to just use it as a simple way to move through a conversation with someone. So it's a fantastic tool for that. You don't need to be a trained coach, but it gives you a coach-like approach to maybe having conversations. And simply by asking, and what else? And then our favorite thing, be silent, is wonderful, which then leads us into the way forward. So, and in this, we can say, well, what will you do? So we've now come up with all these fabulous stories, scenarios. Now it's pedal to the metal comes, if you like, or we start to water those seeds a little bit more. And so what will you do? And what are you willing to do as well, which is a really powerful word.
The willing, and also on that scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I have no energy or will to do this, and 10 is I cannot wait to walk out of this door. I'm so excited. Where are you?
So the GROW model's been around, and then it was expanded. And it was expanded some time ago. And I remember the first time I came across it, which was must be easily, I don't know, probably 20 years ago. And it expanded to growth. And the growth model then adds into this tactics and habits. Because we can come up with all sorts of fun little stories and scenarios and journeys that we want to go on. And we go, yeah, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to say but here. Or we can say, and how are you going to do that? So the tactics is moving more into the how and when will you actually do that? So we start to tell the mind and give the body a little bit more information about, this is now a little bit more commitment. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. And it's very much that moving from inspiration to action.
Yeah.
Because we're now inspired. We've got a clear picture of our goal. We've thought about how I envisage this becoming a reality, no longer an idea.
Yeah. A future and reality. Yeah.
I've established I have the will to do it. Mm. And now it's about, this is what I need to do to actually make it happen. Mm. And then I love how that moves into the H in growth, which is around habits. How will you sustain success in this? Mm. What do you need to do and to make changes that will keep this going, that it's not going to be a one-hit wonder? And then, bam, there it's gone. But it's like, boom, here it comes again. And one of the examples that we use is around when someone comes and says, you know, I've got this health goal. I want to lose 30 kilos in 10 weeks. Okay, so the goal is that you would like to lose an amount of weight, which is important to have a value to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we hit into the reality, it's around really expanding about how realistic is this? What is happening right now? Is it physically healthy? You know, all those kind of things. And then, like you said, it's a bit of a dance. It doesn't end on one. Maybe sometimes you go back up to the goal and you reevaluate the goal. And it's like, oh, maybe it's not, I want to do this in 10 weeks, but I would like to be healthier over a 10-month period of time. And this is what I would like it to look like at the end of that 10 months, because we've now made it a bit more realistic. Options, what do you do? Can do it on my own. Personal trainer, all those kind of things come into it. Will or way forward? I am desperate to do this. I am on an 8 out of 10 here.
Yes.
And then tactics, how and when. Okay, this is what I'm going to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Mm. And then into your habits. What habits do you need to sustain this? Eating at proper times, not getting takeouts, doing meal prep on a Sunday for the week, whatever that is. But it's around by the end of the coaching session that there is a clear picture with steps, timelines, and actions in place that the person is responsible for.
Mm.
Not the coach. It's not for the coach to come up with any of this. So if you, when you're listening to this and going, oh, those are great ideas, I must tell my friend. Whoa, stop there.
Yep.
I must ask my friend, how realistic is this? Do you want to maybe edit your goal? And have it as a conversation where the person you are speaking to finds their solution, because then they will own it and they will own it passionately and make it happen.
I think that's where the habits and looking into your own habits, and I mean, even the habits, just going down the rabbit hole of our habits could be a whole process in itself. That could be a whole new growth process just to help us through changing habits, because it's probably one of the hardest things to do in this. But once you've got that goal, and if you really are committing to it, then you really need to look at those habits. And there's lots of tools and ideas on how to help people. What's the trigger for the habit? Do you need to change the trigger? Those types of things.
Thanks for listening. We are all about helping you. So why not drop us a line at hello@safetycollaborations.com and see what we can do for you. Back to the conversation.
Growth really is an expansion of the GROW model, and it helps to ground those two extra pieces, the tactics and the habits, because they also tap into our emotional state as much as anything. As you were talking, I was thinking a little bit, how do we put this into a on-site example? So let's say you're a leader and you want to improve the types of conversations you have. So this is us now talking a little bit more about how can we use this model. You maybe want to use it yourself, but let's say you want to improve the way that you communicate with someone. So you could look at it from that way and say, okay, well, I want to grow a little bit into this area. What is it that I want to achieve? What's the reality of the situation between me and that person? What do I need to do? Because it isn't always about them. It's actually more about yourself. And then what will you do? But it's also then about how do you then sustain those conversations? So learning to have different conversations. A lot of this is practice. It's trial and error. We keep moving.
And when we work with on-site coaches in training,
mm-hmm.
and we introduce this as a way of having better conversations,
mm-hmm.
one of the tips is to actually say, you know, I've learned about this coaching model and I'm going to give it a try. So if I seem a little bit awkward or stunted, or like I might be trying to remember where I'm at, or I've got a cheat sheet. Cheat sheets are wonderful with this.
Good thing.
I still use my growth cheat sheet okay. to this day. Please forgive me,
yep.
because I am trying to learn to help make our team stronger and better.
Really important point. Be vulnerable, because you're
and
then,
you'll be amazed what comes back.
Absolutely. You're giving permission and respect to the other people as well at the same time, which means they'll give that back to you. And that's how you build trust also. So the really important thing, if you're going to use it and how we use it, and if I think about what we do when we're out on the rigs or having, you know, working with our clients, the very first step with any of this is build a relationship first. So even if we have a series of coaching sessions booked with a leader, we don't just suddenly launch in, right, we're going to go grow and we're going to just move on forward. The first thing is to build a relationship, get a deeper understanding about the person in front of us, because we've got to meet them where they're at. at the time. And then we introduce the framework and we talk about the steps involved. And so the person has a bit of an overview. And I think that helps with that comfort level for the person that we're working with or the team that we're working with. So really the first thing is about building a relationship and what's key to those steps of determining what the goal, the reality, the options with, the tactics, all of that is really about asking questions for exploration and then how they get support from that. And then step eight, of course, is really important. Acknowledge the results, celebrate the wins. And even if the win looks different to what the original goal was, it's okay so long as you feel that you're winning or that there's something to celebrate there.
And not just the final win.
No.
Celebrate the milestones along the way, especially for a big goal that needs to be broken down into chunks.
Yeah.
It's about going, I've made it this far. I'm a step closer.
Yeah.
Oh, I've made it two steps. I'm even closer.
Absolutely. Going back to the weight loss analogy, it's a very common, you're just going to do this a day at a time. And some days you'll fall off the wagon and that's okay. We just reframe that and you get back on the wagon.
And one of the other strengths around this model for me is that it is a pull framework. It's about pulling from the person you're speaking to. It's not about me pushing what I know. I'm not mentoring. And there's a very big difference between mentoring and coaching. So I'm not mentoring, I'm not advising. I am asking and listening. So the more I can pull from somebody, the more they will go out and have the strength and the confidence and the passion and will to achieve what it is that they've committed to.
Couldn't agree more. I think people get very confused about what is coaching, mentoring, teaching, etc. And that's a key differentiator. So where could you use this model? As we've just described, it's coaching, self-coaching as a development process, strategic thinking and planning. It can be used in multitudes of ways. We run for one of our workshops that we run, it is actually the framework for day two of our safety leadership program for a particular client. So we actually start, we talk about, well, what's the goal? Well, you know, we're talking about safety leadership and culture of the organization. So what is the real goal? So we do some activities around that as a group and we start to frame what is the goal for this group or this cohort. And then we move into some brutal truths, as we call them. So the reality. So what's the brutal truths about today, about where the culture of the organization or the safety leadership of the organization is. And they really dive deep into that and some great conversations come out of that. We interplay that with some other activities. So we look at personal risk assessment, we look at the safety maturity ladder at some degree, and you know, we start mapping teams and things on there so they get a bit of a better idea of the reality and also how to move forward. And then we start to looking, well, what are the options and what's the way forward, which then leads us into smaller group sessions around actions and what habits do we need to change and embrace to make a difference within the organization. So, and that's been there for all 20 cohorts, which we're currently on. So it works really well, even for us as facilitators to frame a day's work.
What has been wonderful is to watch how that global team have really grown from all these tiny seeds that have been strategically planted, not just scattered. You know, it's not just like we're going to throw a packet of seeds out to the wind and hope that a couple of them take. It is strategically planted. The time has been taken to
definitely
find the right environment, give it a bit of water, and you're starting to really see them blossom and those actions becoming a reality.
Well, interesting you say that, because this particular program we run through digital facilitation. It used to be an in-person workshop, but thanks to COVID, it changed. And the client will not revert back to in-person for probably some obvious reasons. They don't have to fly us around the world, sadly. However, what it has really given us is the opportunity to keep watering the conversation because it's now expanded. So it's not just 2 days on site. Okay, happy days, see you later. We'll go to the next group. It's allowed us to actually add one-on-one coaching sessions because they all get two each. It's allowed us to have small group peer learning sessions added on to this. So it really has helped us to bloom and thrive in the way that we run that program. And so now it's not just a two-day thing, but it's a four-month immersive growth program.
Wow.
So it's really made quite a difference, because I think one of the challenges when we're facilitating programs like that is, how do you keep the conversation going? Now, that's not entirely our responsibility, of course. It's up to the organization as well. But we've got to help them along the way sometimes. And so that's very helpful.
Well, it's one, keeping the conversation going, but also not having that dip in knowledge that happens when there isn't that check-in point, there isn't the connection, because you will lose 30 to 60% within 2 weeks of doing a short course.
Particularly if it's something new, exactly. And in 3 months, it's gone.
So that's one example of a practical application where we've used growth as a framework. Mm. And we've spoken about coaching in general, but what are some of the other practical applications that you can use the growth model?
So certainly in leadership coaching, on-site coaching, we use it ourselves, as you've already talked about, self and team coaching. Honestly, you can use it for just how to have a difficult conversation with someone. So if you think about this now from, okay, you've got to have a difficult conversation with somebody. And if you sit back and you write down on a piece of paper, even if it's, you know, just the grow bit, right? Because it might be just that part of it. So, all right, what is it that I want to achieve out of this conversation? Write that down. Sometimes going into a difficult conversation, knowing what you want from it, can be very helpful to keep you on track. So if you're the leader or the person who needs to have a difficult conversation.
And focus on the outcome rather than focusing on the emotion.
Absolutely. So you pull the emotion out of this. And by writing it down, say, okay, what's the goal of this conversation? You focus on that point. What is it that you want to have this conversation about? Why do you want to have it in the first place? What was your observation? What was the challenge? What was whatever? And that moves into the reality piece. Sometimes that is all in the one sentence, if you like. And then think about, well, what are the way forwards? And that's when you then go into the conversation and maybe write yourself a couple of questions you would like to ask the individual that you've got to have a difficult conversation with to help trigger the way forward. And then go into, well, then ask them, so what are you willing to do after that? So that sort of flips around. So it's not about you as the individual thinking about the way forward, but you're going to encourage the person in front of you to think about the way forward. So it could be used in that way also as a way to deal with difficult conversations.
I've realized that we've mentioned self-coaching a couple of times.
Yes.
And it might be that you're sitting there going, okay, what exactly do you mean by this? What is this self-coaching that you keep throwing into the conversation?
Good point. Good point. Makes sense to us because we know what it means, but yes.
And self-coaching is about having this exact conversation with yourself and being open and honest. And when you're doing that, it's very important that you are in the right space, you know, so be somewhere where you will not be disturbed.
Yeah.
Allow yourself, you know, maybe a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or something, go and sit in your garden, go and sit at a coffee shop where you know that you will be able to give your head the space to answer questions for which you may not have answers. Mm. And if the answers are coming too easy, keep asking yourself, and what else?
Really good point.
And if the next answer is easy, ask again.
And what else?
What else?
My favorite question. Yep.
Until you get to that will and way forward, what am I going to do? What habits do I need to change? And it can be incredibly powerful. But we know that it's not always easy. And if you're listening to this and you go, oh, I so want to understand how this works, I would love to just have half an hour to just let my thoughts come out of my head and down into a conversation, we'd like to offer you an introductory 30-minute coaching session.
Yep.
You can go onto our website, safetycollaborations.com. In the show notes will be a link, and the code will be POD028, and that will give you access to that, because it is so powerful that we believe this is something that should be shared and everybody should be able to appreciate the value of what comes out of a growth coaching session.
In addition to that, we will also provide you with a downloadable with questions within the GROW model and then some questions for the tactics and for the habits as well. So we'll give you a download that you can freely use.
Please take the opportunity to no longer feel like a small seed in a vast garden and bloom and thrive through personal growth. And we look forward to hearing from you.
That wraps us up for today. So as always, thank you for taking the time to listen to this conversation that matters. Connect with us on our website, safetycollaborations.com, where you will find the show notes for this episode, the downloads, and the link for your introductory 30-minute coaching session. You can also leave us a message via the live chat on the show notes page. You can always follow us on LinkedIn. And if you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word by sharing it with others and following us on your favorite podcast platform. Till next week, stay safe and stay well.